Hey, good afternoon. You're listening to Verum Sports. It is the Verum Sports after International Women's Day. And we're joined on the line now by one of our elite female athletes. Quite frankly, just an elite athlete in our parts. It's the mighty, on form, Sarah McKenna, who's part of a still dreaming of a Grand Slam England Red Roses rugby union team. Good afternoon, Sarah. How are you doing?
Yeah, very well, Tony. How are you?
Hey, doing ever so well indeed. And again, just feels appropriate, just before we dissect great results against Wales and build ahead to the big one Saturday against the Italians on form themselves, just to sort of reflect on what is at the moment still International Women's Day and go, my goodness me, you guys, fully professional, 3 wins from 3 and in front of an absolute sellout, it sounds, at Sandy Park. I think a record-breaking crowd in non-World Cup context. Just again, put into context the growth and the future of the women's game in rugby union.
Yeah, it's a really good place to be at the moment, especially, you know, down here in camp in Exeter, obviously, hearing that the crowd's going to be so big at the weekend, knowing that all the hard work that we've put in, you know, over the years since even like not being professional has paid off, and obviously since turning professional come the new year, lots of hard work has been put in. The results have shown, obviously going 3 from 3 so far in the Six Nations. It just shows that, you know, we're going in the right direction, and the support seems to be, you know, seems to be reflecting that, and people are really getting behind us.
Absolutely, certainly it's on the up and up. And you guys, again, the first full-time professional team, in certainly in the Six Nations, pioneers of the game, ambassadors of the game. You know, I know you've obviously just professional athletes focused on processes and doing your own job, but there must be a sense of, I guess, pride in the fact that you are there kind of paving the way at the forefront of an ever-growing, ever-increasing standard of women's rugby.
Yeah, obviously, I suppose every, you know, generation has made massive improvements in you know, being at the forefront of what they were achieving at the time. And, you know, we are very, you know, very proud to be where we are now. And we are very aware of what people have had to go through before this. So, you know, we're very aware that we're sort of standing on the shoulders of those before us and taking, the game to new directions. So, no, it is a really good place to be.
Giants who've stood on the shoulders of giants as things move forward positively. Bidding, of course, for a 15th Grand Slam. 3 wins from 3. Perfect start to the season. Again, bonus points in all of the matches so far. Confidence must be brimming. But nevertheless, I know you know full well, as an elite athlete, you can never look too far ahead. And this Italian team, 2 wins and a draw so far in the Six Nations, remain your closest competitor. They're certainly going to be, I guess, bristling with confidence, eager to upset the Apple Park at this massive 8,900 bumper Sandy Park crowd on Saturday.
Yeah, of course, the Italians are going to be high on confidence, you know, as much as we are. They're going to be incredibly buoyed by their successes, and they've been playing better and better every game, and, you know, every Six Nations that we've seen them at. So, you know, we can't forget that they're also high on confidence as we are, and that they're going to be, you know, experiencing a crowd unlike they've experienced before. So, you know, they're going to be, you know, a really tough contender, and a team that, you know, we haven't taken lightly. We've gone through all the processes, you know, trained really hard this week and last weekend, you know, no time off, really focused on this fixture against the team who are currently in second.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, it's a top-of-the-table clash. It's going to be fascinating, and I'm sure, you know, one that must get your juices playing. I guess this is why you play the game, Sarah.
Yeah, to be, you know, the work that they've done in Exeter to you know, whet everyone's appetite in the area, you know, has been massive. It'll make a massive difference on that day. People want to be playing in front of big crowds, and, you know, we feel honoured to be able to do so. This is why we train, this is why we put in the hard work. Of course, you know, if one man and his dog was watching, you know, we'd still be putting in performances, but to see that people were enjoying the game that we're playing, we want to put on a show for them, score tries, and make them remember, you know, why they've come through the turnstiles, why they're turning up, why they've travelled so far. You know, we really want to put a show on for people like that.
And I tell you what, I'm sure you will. Again, like I say, 3 bonus point tries so far in the first 3 encounters in this year's Six Nations. As you know, Sarah, rugby union is perhaps the ultimate team sport. But I do just want to go back onto the Welsh bonanza. 9 tries in total in that one. And my goodness me, Jess Breach simply cannot stop scoring, can she? I think she's scored in every round so far.
Yeah, that sounds about right. yeah, she loves to get over the whitewash, and she loves to have ball in hand. She's been fantastic, you know, since she's come back from sevens. She's really been working on her finishing, and from sevens, and that showed, you know, on the 15s pitch. She only needs 5 metres of space, so she can get over the whitewash. But we've got, you know, fantastic finishers on the edge, and then we've also got people like Sarah Byrne in the middle who can, you know, see through teams right in the heart of them. So, yeah, we've got threats everywhere across the pitch.
Absolutely, and that's young Sarah Burns bristling, no doubt, after a brace at the weekend. As a lifetime paid-up member of the Front Row Union myself, I tell you what, not just in the women's game, but the men's game, the athleticism of the Front Row, and of course everybody, I guess, as a byproduct of professionalism, it's worlds and leagues apart from my time when I used to look up to and admire the likes of Chilcott, etc., etc.
Yes, I guess it's the modern front row, isn't it? It's no longer slouches, no longer the ones just providing, you know, the heavy work. They're out there, they're being athletic. They're making holes, punching holes into people, and also, you know, can move around the pitch, get around the pitch, and be useful everywhere. You know, the amount of times that we're calling Sarah Byrne out to stand, you know, outside,
yeah,
outside me at 15 and inside the winger, just to sort of be that battering ram on the outside, because she's got the pace and she's got the power, you know. Have her 5 metres out on the edge, and no one's going to stop her. So, yeah, the modern front row, not just in the centre of the park winning set piece anymore, you know, all over the pitch, you know, damaging effects everywhere.
Absolutely. And again, the evolution of the game, and I'm sure that's going to only ever continue apace. Always fascinated by Middleton. He seems to be a very firm hand, a man who's, you know, obviously played a dynamic and critical role in this ever-growing professionalism. The head coach, Middleton, of the England Red Roses, once again rings the changes. Again, me in my comfy studio plays devil's advocate and kind of says, don't change a winning team. But this is a big squad game that he's developing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've always got one eye, I suppose, on the World Cup, and knowing that we need to have two world-class players in every position, you know, you can't afford to be in a position where you've got an injury and all of a sudden you've got a hole within your team. So we've got lots of players who can play one, two, even three positions. So week in, week out, when we're changing the teams, you know, it doesn't really feel very different when you're on the pitch. We're going through the same processes like you've mentioned, and we're very much on the same page. And just to have that fluidity, having people, you know, come in off the bench, maybe not come in the first place position, or if someone gets injured, people moving across, you know, we're all trying to play the same style of game, and therefore whatever position you are, after first phase, it doesn't really matter.
Again, for me, that's a key quote that he mentioned, just pointing out, just look at our bench. You can see the strength and depth we've developed in the squad. It seems, again, that is, I guess, part of the big vision. Reflected in when you can bring back into the fold and instantly make skipper the well-established, highly experienced Sarah Hunter, picking up 111th cap on Saturday.
Yeah, she's been fantastic for us all Six Nations. You know, she's really led from the front. I think she's playing better than ever. You know, with 111 caps, she's playing better than ever. It's absolutely fantastic to see. She shows no sign of slowing down. I think Richard Blaze, the new forwards coach, who's come in, has really brought out the best in her. So, you know, maybe at one point, you know, maybe where she wasn't finding form, she's found it, picked it straight back up, and she's leading us from the front. You know, I think she's getting some of the most involvements, most tackles, gain line tackles out of everyone, and you know, someone of her experience doing that really pulls us along and gets us fired up for the game.
It's that old one, isn't it? It's a truism that form can be one of those temporary devils, but class is always a permanent core, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think everyone at some point has struggled to find form at some point, but you've got to, you know, keep working, keep burrowing away. You know, it can come and go so quickly, and all you need is a run of good games to sort of think that you found it again. And especially after injury, that can really disrupt form and you know, how you're getting on. So yeah, it's probably important sometimes to ignore form and recognise it when people are on top form, but also recognise that when you're not in form, it's not permanent, and you can do things to change it and just keep working hard.
And that happens in games, doesn't it? It's a fascinating element of life and sport, of course. Sarah, I know you and the whole team are going to be supremely confident, although, of course, wary of the challenges of the Italian team. But I just want to get your expert take on England last week against Wales. Couldn't mimic the great results of the Red Roses. For me, I've got to be honest, I was broadcasting till about 6, caught the last 20 minutes, and that was a really difficult 20 minutes to watch. Again, hands up, I'm a lifetime front row member, but always at a very Bob basic level. It's dead easy to sort of, in a lovely warm studio, kind of critique. But I just thought that was the last 20 minutes where England, who this season in the Six Nations, been so supreme at game managing, playing the ball in the right territories, if they'd have just kind of gone through that process, that was theirs to win. I do give credit to Wales, who've got that winning spirit at the moment, but I did find that last 20 really difficult to watch.
Yeah, I suppose at that point in the game, momentum had shifted towards the Welsh. I think, you know, we'd got some critical penalties against us and they'd taken the lead. So, yeah, it was a really tough part to watch, obviously. It's not good seeing when your team's, you know, not got the momentum, trying to win it back desperately. And then they bring on Dan Biggar, you know, absolute master of
playing
that game out. So, you know, as a fan watching, you're just hoping that we get some momentum back, and it just didn't come, and the game slipped away, and that, you know, final try right at the end was the nail in the coffin that just sort of sunk everyone's hearts, I guess.
Ultimately, though, it does mean that this is a wide, wide open men's Six Nations. It's still all to play for in the ladies, of course, but 3 wins from 3, I'm sure you guys are feeling supreme. I'm sure it's going to be an amazing atmosphere there at Sandy Park. As I say, already 8,700 tickets sold. I would imagine there's maybe a handful left, but they'll go like the proverbial hotcakes. Sarah, for me, it's always awesome to get your insights into all things rugby union, and I'd just like to take a moment in closing to wish you and all the girls all the very best as you continue apace for that Grand Slam dream.
Thank you, Tony.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.